Okay, Alexander, we need to talk about what's going on in Melbourne. And things are collapsing, it seems, at least from the images that we're getting on social media, the videos and everything that we're getting on social media. A couple of viewers sent me some videos and some messages where this is looking to turn into a kind of orange vest instead of the yellow vest, an orange vest protest and pushback against Melbourne, Victoria, Premier Andrews. Whenever I say that, Premier Andrews, it rolls off the tongue as authoritarian just when you say it. You know, the guy is really cracking down hard on the people of Victoria. And the latest scenes, Alexander, are protesters in orange vests are walking onto a busy highway and they're shutting it down. We have standoffs with the police in the city center. Just the other day, we had people from Melbourne breaking down a police barricade. They are chanting, and this is a quote just for the YT algorithms, F the jab. This is what they are chanting in their protests. So I'm taking that's a direct quote of their chants. In Melbourne, a tweet from Max Blumenthal says, right now in Melbourne, Australia, the most severe clash to date between workers and the state over mandated jabs as thousands of unionized construction tradesmen take the street. Victoria Premier Dan Andrews has shut down all construction for 2 weeks. It is just endless shutdowns, one sector after sector after sector, and he is not giving the people any room to breathe. This goes way beyond the China-Asia model that we said Australia was trying to follow when it came to containing the pandemic. I mean, I think this has gone way, way past that. What do you think?
Well, absolutely, because, of course, what started as an attempt, I think, to impose the China-Asia model is coming up the reality that, of course, Australia is not a China-Asia type country. It's an English-speaking country which is very much part of the West, and which shares the kind of democratic traditions of the West. And I have to say, personally, it's been a surprise to me that it has taken as long for these protests to take hold in Australia as it has done. But perhaps we are at that point now. But I'm going to make a prediction. The authorities' reaction to these events is not going to be to back off or to back down or to try to conciliate people or to try and find a way to talk with them, or certainly not to change policies or the direction of policy in any way. On the contrary, they're going to escalate, they're going to clamp down even more, they're going to go out and criticise the people who are protesting. You're going to hear before very long all kinds of words used about them, all the usual labels, you know, extreme right. I fully predict sometime before very long the F word being used and, you know, other words that we all know. And we're going to see all of that, and we're going to see the whole apparatus of the state mobilised against them in order to clamp them down even further. And that's, it seems to me, the direction of policy in Australia. Australia is an outlier. It has taken this far further than any Western, if I can, and I will call Australia a Western country. And, of course, I don't see any sign at all that any part of the governments of Australia is interested in changing its approach. They will see this not as a sign of resistance. They will see this as a challenge to their authority, and they will clamp down.
Yeah, but why? Why have they taken this so damn far? Why is the government? Why is Premier Andrews? Because not even all Australia is like this. But when you're looking at Melbourne and Victoria, it seems like this guy Andrews, this premier, has just got an axe to grind with the people of Melbourne. Why is this guy that power hungry? Has he decided that he's going to be the example for the whole world to see as to how to deal with this pandemic in a tough way? Is his angle the tough guy angle? What's going on here? Because I'm starting to ask myself, this is not making any sense whatsoever, because we also have to be honest, their cases, their case numbers, everything are extreme. When compared to Europe, the UK, the United States, I mean, it's not even comparable.
Well, indeed. I mean, I should say that I read recently, and I did an article in National Review, which is a conservative magazine in the United States, which is very much aligned with the Mitch McConnell wing of the Republican Party. In other words, a moderate voice, if you like to use that expression. And it said that, Australia is a society that's going mad, and they think that the policies that are being pursued in Australia are insane and are doing enormous damage to Australia's image. And of course, Melbourne has taken this, the state government there, has taken this to extreme levels. But why are they doing it? Well, the answer is simple. When you go down the authoritarian road, there is no stop. Because if you start to draw back, then your authority disintegrates. If you start going down that road, if you stop working through consensus, if you stop working like, conventional politicians do in democracies, if you start imposing your positions on people and you meet resistance, then if you turn around at the first sign of resistance, or indeed even more so as resistance has built up, then what will invariably happen is that your authority will collapse, your police and security people will start saying, we don't have, we can't have any trust in this person, we're not going to go out again into the streets and round up people and impose these kind of mandates and force these kind of policies on these people, because the premier himself is not going to see them through. And why should we? Why should we put ourselves under that kind of trouble? And of course, if the premier then starts drawing back, then of course he will lose his appearance of strength, and he'll be voted out. So that is the problem. If you take an authoritarian approach, then inevitably, the more resistance you encounter, the more you are drawn to counter that resistance by more authoritarian policies of your own. That is the slide that authoritarian policies lead to. And that's what's happening in Melbourne today.
Is the solution a yellow vests type of protest? In other words, the orange vests is the solution. 50 weeks of consecutive protesting? Is that the only way out of this mess?
Well, I think that's possible. But I mean, I think the ultimate way out, the only way this is going to change realistically, is for Premier Andrews to step down. Now, I don't see him doing that at the moment. And I don't see that the situation in Australia, at least in Melbourne at the moment, the protest reaching that level where his position in Australia, in Melbourne, has collapsed to the point where he feels he has to step down. But we'll see whether the protests continue, whether they do develop into something similar to the yellow vest protests in France, where they become as strong and as persistent as they did in France. But I'm going to say something. Of course, the world is watching Australia. And if he is forced to step down, and the policies that he's identified with collapse, then be absolutely under no doubt that is going to change the entire perspective of the whole world. Because at that point, all the leaders everywhere who have been pursuing policies that are perhaps not as extreme as this, but similar to them, are going to say to themselves, well, there's a limit to how far we can go, because if we go too far, then events like Premier, we will find ourselves out of power in exactly the same way that Premier Andrews has. So that's it's a high stakes game now, we need to understand that, because either you continue to assert your authority in this way, or your authority crumbles. If your authority crumbles, your credibility and that of the policies that you advocate crumbles with you also.
Yeah, that is exactly right. This thing, it looks bleak right now for Australia and the people of Melbourne specific, but it could change like that. And I think you said it well. It is a very high stakes game, and the powers above and behind Andrews are not going to allow him to step down because it is such a high stakes game, and they know exactly what's at stake on a global level because all the eyes are now watching Melbourne. But on the flip side, a movement like the Yellow Vests and Orange Vest movement in Australia, that it does pick up momentum, gets consistency, is decentralized, and starts to get the support of the world, like very much like the Yellow Vests did, could change the image of Australia as well. I mean, everything could change, snap of a finger with what's going on in Australia. And it is a very high stakes a game. What do you think of that?
Absolutely.
Could something like the Yellow Vest, something like that, completely flip the script on how the world sees Australia and the globalists' position with regards to lockdowns and passports?
Well, of course it could. I mean, it absolutely could. There's an important difference, by the way, between the Yellow Vest, and you touched on it earlier in the program, which is that, of course, to an extent that never quite happened in France, and this is a crucial difference and a reason why the Yellow Vest protests in the end, well, I mean, they're still going on. They haven't quite finished, but I mean, they didn't quite lead to the collapse of Macronism, as seemed likely that they would at one point. But in this particular case, in Australia, we are getting reports that construction workers and unions are edging towards joining these protests. Now, if that happens, if organised labour starts to become engaged, well, I think at that point for Premier Andrews, it could be game over, depending on how far this spreads. Because if organised labour starts to bring people out and protests in the streets get backed by strikes, then I think we are, as I said, in a completely different ball game entirely. And then you start to see protests on a much bigger scale. And of course, the protests start to spread. They're no longer people, as they were with the Yellow Vests, people coming into the cities from the small towns and communities across France, which are suffering very badly. It would mean urban, working class, city dwellers opposing the authorities at the very heart of their power. So that's an important distinction to make between what's going on in Australia now and what's happened in France. It's not quite reached that level yet, but there are some indications that things are starting to head in that direction, and Andrews and his officials are going to be very worried about it. But if it does lead to, as I said, Premier Andrews losing control, being forced to step down, policy changes, obviously Australia's entire image across the world will change. But so, as I said, will be a shock across the entire Western world. It will really, as I said, create a massive change in feeling, not just on the part of people, but on part of authorities also. They will sense at that point that if they continue with these kind of policies, they risk completely losing control. So it would make Australia, if you like, at that point, the bellwether country, the vanguard, if you like, of a shift that will resonate across the world. But let's not move ahead of ourselves. We're not at that point yet. That's not where we are now. At the moment, all the indications are intensified repression, more police on the streets, more arrests, more prosecutions, more attempts to tighten control. That is what we're going to see over the next few days.
It could evolve
into something else. But as I said, it's the repression of the moment that is the reality.
Yeah, that's what we're going to see. And there's no doubt that the people in Melbourne definitely, they delayed in their reaction to all of this. And now they are starting to react. But that delay is going to cost them a lot. And we don't know if it'll get, like you said, to the level of Yellow Vest. Mm. We just don't know if it'll even reach that level. Final question. What is happening in Australia on a geopolitical level, Alexander? Because, we have Andrews And this guy just, I mean, for lack of a better word, he just seems like a madman. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the guy, but this is the vibes that I'm getting from him in his speeches. You have all this stuff, all these incredible measures that are being put in place in cities like Melbourne, which really make zero sense whatsoever. But you also have the geopolitical dynamic. You have the AUKUS, AUKUS. You have all of that that happened. You know, there's a lot of articles that are saying, and a lot of analysts that are saying, Australia is going to be a U.S. militarized type of zone, and it is going to be the next battlefront in this this constantly evolving Cold War between the United States and China. What's happening in Australia?
Well,
is there a bigger picture at play here?
I think there is a bigger picture, and I'm going to make a guess again. I mean, I've talked about the fact that the political classes in Britain and Australia are tightly integrated, and of course the intelligence communities of Britain, Australia, and the United States are very closely integrated with each other. In fact, they're so integrated that you could almost say essentially that they're one and the same. And I think that what's actually happening is that there's a decision being taken at some level, probably not at the level of the presidents and the prime ministers, that there has to be some kind of challenge against China and that Australia must be part of that. And it's fascinating to see how at the same time as that is happening, the Australian government and the Australian authorities are working overtime to crush any signs of political dissent in Australia itself, and with the demonstration of the events that we see in Melbourne. And whether those two facts are connected, whether this is partly because people are nervous that, you know, if there are protests in Australia on one thing, there might be protests in Australia about, you know, American forces being based in Australia and American nuclear submarines being placed in Australia and all that kind of thing. Whether these things are connected with each other, I can't absolutely say, but it's possible. And that may be what the story is. So there's a lot to discuss about Australia. It's a country that's, to some extent, one that it's difficult to understand exactly because so many things are going on, which are so unusual. But bear in mind, we've had very authoritarian responses in response to the coup and incredibly secret negotiations on geopolitics. I mean, the secrecy with which all these decisions have been made is really remarkable, and I would argue incompatible with a democratic society. The Australian people have not been consulted about the pandemic responses, and they've not been consulted about AUKUS nuclear submarine purchases or any of that sort of thing either. It's just been decided at upper levels and imposed on them. And for a society like Australia, which values its freedom and where people have had a long tradition of individualism and, you know, being a free people, that must be a very unsettling thing. Or so I would have thought.
Yeah, I just get the impression that the pitch where the match is being played has been moved deliberately from Europe and the Middle East to Southeast Asia and Australia. That's just the hunch that I'm getting.
I don't think about that there is any doubt at all. I think you're absolutely right about that. That's exactly the case.
Yeah. All right. TheDuran.locals.com. Please check us out on Locals. It is free to join. We have all kinds of great content. I mean, a lot of content. Everyone that's watching this video, please find that link down below and join Locals. That is the only promo I will do for this video, Alexander. Go to Locals and get all kinds of really great, unique content, not only from us, Alexander, but from the entire community that is sharing just incredible articles and thoughts and analysis and videos. It's a wealth of information. It really is. All right, that's it. Take care.